Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change in not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually. And as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this.
We are going to open our Bibles to the book of Exodus. And we're going to look at chapter 14. Exodus 14. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures in your hearing this morning. Amen. Exodus 14, 15, and 16. I'm so glad to see all of you this morning. Amen. Exodus 14, verses 15 and 16. When you have it, say amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore crieth thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they may go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. I'm going to read verse 15 one more time. The Lord said unto Moses, Why are you crying to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they may go forward. The word of the Lord is blessed indeed. I want to use for a subject topic this morning simply, go forward. Go forward. Tell your neighbor, go forward. Put your hand on your own self and say, self, go forward. Sometimes it's not in how we convince somebody else that forward is what they need to do. It's how we convince ourselves. Hallelujah. As I was studying this scripture and trying to allow the Holy Spirit to direct me in how he would like for me to really begin to extrapolate the truth in this narrative with a keen ear. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're trying to hear with clarity and understanding and truth, you have to sit down, you listen for a moment, and then you got to get up and ponder what you just heard. You know, sometimes the Lord will speak so fast into your ears, right, that it behooves you not just to be able to hear him, but understand, right? Because it's the understanding portion that causes the actions to follow. It's one thing. You know, there was a test I remember that we took some time ago, and in the test, it gave one direction. It said, write your name here. That's all it said. The teacher was very clear. This was in elementary school, and she was very clear. She said, don't do anything else other than the directions that's provided. Now, watch this. There were problems on the test that matched the subject matter that we just studied, right? So we possessed the wherewithal to answer the questions. But she said, only do what the direction said. The direction said, write your name here. And we proceeded. We wrote our names, and we answered all the questions. And the whole class failed the test because it wasn't important that you walked out what you saw. It was important that you listened and comprehended what you read and what you heard her say. Sometimes we think we know the way to go, but the Lord will still say, wait, hold your peace, be quiet, sit down for a minute, and listen, wait for further instructions. She came back and she said, all of you all did an excellent job, but you all failed. Because the directions were, write your name here. How many of us have ever been guilty of going, of trying to go forward, and we're doing a whole bunch of stuff that looks like forward when God says, just make one step and stand there? So now we're tired, we're frustrated, we're irritated. We've fallen out of love with folk, fallen out of relationship with folk, have become a recluse, want to stay in the house, don't want to go outside, don't want to talk to nobody, don't want to hear from nobody. And we're mad at ourselves, but we're trying to misappropriate our frustration and our anger and put it off on somebody else. When if we go into our secret prayer closet for just a moment and say, Lord, what would you have me to hear? He would say, I told you, just be still. God's got an answer if we're willing to hear from him. In our text, the Lord asked Moses a question. Now, let's understand the position that he's in. God has already called him from the backside of the desert. God has already used him as a deliverer for the children of Israel who spent years in bondage. And then he caused them to be able to leave their captors, move into the wilderness, and now they're faced with a dilemma. I've got the Egyptians who have changed their minds. They're coming behind us. Pharaoh, and he's got his army, and they're chasing us. I've got the mountains to the left and the right of me, and I've got the Red Sea. We don't have a boat. There is no bridge, and now we're at an impasse. Moses began to hear what the people were saying. Moses began to get emotional based off of what the people said. And because Moses listened to what the people were saying, he began to get fearful within himself. He began to cry out to God. And God says, why are you crying to me? I have given you what you need to be able to overcome this situation. Use what's in your hand. Use what's in your hand. Use what's in your hand. Tell yourself, self, what God needs to do to work out this situation for me is already in me. I'm going to tell you something. Stop running to every conference with every prophet in the city, trying to get another word. Use what he already gave you. God, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I'm going to get back to my message. God's not going to give you another word until you do what he already said. But God, I'm waiting, I'm delaying, my prayers aren't being answered. Maybe it's because you're not doing what he already said. Obey the first word. See that little happened at the right time. Right? Whenever God starts anything with you, he'll finish it. I promise you. Guarantee it. It might get difficult, but he's going to finish it. What benefit would it have been for God to do everything that he did for the children of Israel? Sustain, watch this, sustain them in bondage. Sustained in bondage in a rough place. In a circumstance that's designed to take you out. But the grace of God sustained. Oh my God. Think back over your life and the rough places that you've had to walk through. If you're here to tell the story, that's indication that God is good. Woo! We serve a God. We don't like bondage. We don't like tests. We don't like trials. We don't like issues. We don't like lack. But watch this. In your issue, God sustained you. In your times of lack, God sustained you. He kept you. When you didn't have a job, he kept you fed. Right? God will keep you. So what benefit would it have been for God to get to this point with the children of Israel while they're at this current dilemma? They've had dilemmas for 400 years. They've been in a consistent dilemma. Bondage. But God calls them to still be a nation of people. Your name has not been wiped off the earth. Hallelujah. Think about it like this. You may have lost your job, but you still got a bank account. It might not be a fat account. It might be a lean account. But you got an account. I'm going to tell you, I'm going through some things in my life, but God is showing me how in everything give thanks. Might not have all I want, but I want to give him praise. I might not have everything that I think I need, but I need to get into his presence. In everything, I've got to be able to see what God is doing in this. Teach me, teacher. Show me what you're doing. Help me to have a different conversation in the rough times. Help my tongue to stay consistent when it's good and when it's bad. When I'm walking the high road and the low road. In times of fat and in times of lean. Right? When there's surplus and then where there's lack. Right? Teach me how to keep my mind consistently stayed on you so that I can have the peace that you promised. Right? This God wants you to go forward. Right? He has given us the word. He has given us his spirit to move forward. But you know what happens sometimes? We allow our mind and what we say to talk us out of forward mobility. Tell yourself, see, today I'm not going to tell you to tell your neighbor a lot. I'm going to tell you to talk to you because this word ain't for your neighbor. It's for you. Tell yourself, self, stop contradicting what God has already spoken over your life. Some of y'all didn't say it. Self, stop contradicting what you know God said. With your stubborn self. We know we heard him. My sheep hear my voice. That ain't a question. You know you did. You just don't like what you heard. But getting in alignment with what you heard, watch this, it's the secret ingredient in the recipe to get you forward. And forward is where we're trying to go. So it wouldn't have benefited God to kill the children of Israel now. At this point where they're facing an impasse, they don't know what to do, where to go, who to turn to. They don't know how to fight. It wouldn't make sense for God to get them here and kill them. Just like it don't make sense for God to see you through hard trials. Just like it don't make sense for God to see you through that difficult valley. Just like it don't make sense for God to heal you from that depressed state and then destroy you now for this present dilemma. I know you got a dilemma. Everybody got something that you're battling, right? But you have to convince and tell yourself, I'm not dying in this. This is not the thing that's getting ready to take me out. Right? This is where God is going to impart additional wisdom in me so that I can keep moving to my next place. So I can go forward. I can go forward, right? So it would have been pointless for a holy God to treat this as just another story, a fable, or folklore. It's something that we just talk about around the campfire. This is not a campfire story. But this is the narrative that God provides to his people. Right? This is how God works in us to provide the narrative that produces a testimony that bears fruit. Somebody needs to hear you talk about what God has done more than how you felt along the way. Your feelings don't deliver nobody. All right? Get control of your feelings. They're going to change from moment to moment. Feelings will change. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Sometimes I'm level to the ground. That song just always just talking about how fickle we are. Right? Your feelings gonna change. But God wants to give you consistency of speech. That it doesn't matter what you're facing, God is still worthy to be praised. Oh my God. Right? You go through lack so you can keep saying, but my God is a provider. You experience sickness just so you can say, but my God is a healer. Right? What you're facing is a but God situation. Right? Everything. We used to sing a song. Everything that the devil does, God's going to turn it around. We remember we used to sing that? And when we would sing it, we would tell you, everything that the devil does, God's going to turn it around. Right? And it was something that we did. And it might look foolish, but it did something to your faith. Right? It's a little simple song. You don't even have to sing on beat. You don't have to sing on key. You can be completely off, but you can be walking around your house and you can declare over your house, because see, in your house is a lot of times where your biggest fight is. So in your house, I'm not getting ready to die in this oppression. Everything that the devil does, God's about to turn it around. Right? God's turning things around for you to give you a testimony. He's building up your testimony. You've got to allow God to use what he's going to use to build up your testimony. He's not trying to kill you. He's not, watch this, he's not even trying to give you the glory. He's building up the testimony for him to get the glory. And as long as all you can see is you in the way. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to keep going through what you're going through until you can get your mind off of you. Tell yourself, it's not about me anyway. I said, say it. Open your mouth. Don't be thinking. This ain't telepathy. You ain't that deep. Open your mouth and say it. It ain't about me. Say it. It's not about me. Say it. The problem why some of y'all going through what you're going through is because pride won't let you say it's not about you. You keep thinking it's about you with your self-centered self. You think that everything is about you, that the whole world rotate on its axis around how you feel. Let me tell you something. Nobody cares about how you feel longer than the 2 seconds after you told them. They will listen to you, complain and cry, but as long as you stop talking, oh, look at that pain over there. If the Lord asked Moses, why are you crying to me? He's still asking you, why are you sitting here crying? I'm trying to get you forward and you trying to cry. I'm trying to get you delivered and you stand stuck because you can't get into alignment with what I said because you focus on yourself and what you see. When you are the icon, your I and con gonna fall. I have just believed a con. I have been conned by myself. When you can't believe God, you become the biggest con man, con woman, con person. Right? Where are we trying to go? Right? Right? Get out the way. Get out your way. Get out your own way. Get out your own way. You are in the way of your deliverance. You smarter than God. He gonna show you that you're not. You better make a choice. Get out his way. Oh, yes, sir, King Jesus. Go right ahead. Show me where to go. I'll follow you now. Yeah, I've been following me long enough, and I keep ending up with the same thing. I've been seeing this same strange mountain long enough. I've been walking around not being delivered long enough. I will get out of my way. I yield. I yield. I surrender. I submit. I give up. The authority below. Take me, Lord. Hands behind my back. I give up. Arrest everything in me that's not like you so that you can get me to the place where I need to be. I want to help you this morning. I have a nice message. And I'm glad that he gave me to preach it to you. You want to know why? Because I'm always first partaker. And I've been black-eyed and bloodied and bruised and whipped and scorned and scourged and punched. And kicked and pile-drived and bulldozed and Holy Ghost jumped off the top rope on me and just, he went back all the way to the WWF, World Wrestling Federation, right? Jimmy Superfly Snuka from the top rope, just... But you gotta get to the point where you just lay there. Just count me out. Just go ahead, count me out. Pin me to the mat, Jesus, and just I give. It's pointless to keep fighting you. It's pointless. Right? It's pointless. Some of y'all think y'all fighting people, but you fighting God. You misappropriating what it is that God wants to do. Your focus is on natural carnal stuff, right? This ain't a fleshly fight. God is trying to get after something in you, right? And you avoiding him thinking it's everybody else and you falling out with everybody else because you know you can't get with him. The only person that you mad at, the only person making you tired is you. You get on your own nerves. And don't even know it. It's for a purpose that the Lord allows situations to occur in our lives. God ain't picking with you, that's what we do. God's not antagonizing you. That's what we do. God's not bullying you. That's what we do. God's not labeling you. He's identifying what's working in you. people label based on their limited understanding, and it may be wrong or right. But when God identifies what's in you, his word is always right. It's always right, and it's always good. And when he shows you who you are, let me tell you something, man and woman of wisdom and strength, agree with him. Choose to agree with what the Lord shows you and bring that thing under subjection to the authority of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God, for purpose, allows situations to happen in our lives. He is revealed as he ministers to us through his word and through our circumstance. Word and circumstance. Word and circumstance. Say that, word and circumstance. God allows word and circumstances to teach us those things that he wants us to know. Watch this. Romans 8 and 31. What can we say to these things? That if God be for us, who can be against us? When you choose to let God work, I'm gonna say it again. When you choose to let God work, you've got to let him work, then nothing that the enemy tries to do will ever be able to overtake you, right? Who can fight God when God fights for you? Nobody has arms that's long enough to box God, right? And in that, it's the desire of God that you keep moving forward. Here's one thing that I can tell you what God does. The Lord deals graciously with us. It's grace, his grace. He deals with us. He gets us in check with grace, right? And he's faithful. Every time that the Lord redirects or corrects or instructs, whatever he does, it's on purpose to get us back on track with his plan that he designed for us. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says it like this: "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." This is what God wants to do in each and every one of us. When God has a thought over your life, it brings you to an expected end. Giving in to your own thoughts over your life will lead you to a roadblock and a dead end. But God's word over your life leads you to an expected end, right? Philippians 1:3-6 says it like this: "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you always making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the very first day until now." I thank God for the moment that you said yes to the plan of God all the way until tonight, right now. He says, "I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it." Whatever God has placed over your life will come to pass. Whatever God places over your life, it will come to pass. So as God faithfully watches over his word to perform it, he provides us, the hearers, word, which are clear instructions that are beneficial for four things. Here are those four things, and I want you to type these out in your as you take notes on the message. Type these out. Because here's what God wants to teach in you. God, these are the things that God wants to produce in you, but you have to let him, right? He wants to produce maturity. Maturity. God wants to mature you. Sometimes we're in our own way because we think we got it all together, so we don't want to hear nobody else but us.
Right?
We try and qualify everything that we do and have a reason for everything that we do, and we don't know we're immature. In some areas of your life, you're immature. Say, in some areas of my life, I need to mature. Right? Right? Immaturity will always tell you that you're mature. Right? Remember when you was 12? I can't wait to be grown. And then you got grown, let me go back. Right? This is a scam. This is growing up, this is a joke. I wish I was back living in my mama's house, didn't have to pay bills, food being made for me every time. You know, I didn't have to worry about breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. I didn't have to worry about light bill, gas bill, and water bill, and rent, and insurance, and taxes. I didn't have to worry about, all I did was play on my bike all day and clean my room. That was it. All right? Oh, to go back. But God is trying to grow you up. Tell yourself, I can't go back. Tell yourself again, I can't go back. Say, I can't go backwards, I'm only going forward. That's right. No matter how much I go to the gym and work out, I'm still working out a 50-year-old body. I can maintain what I have, but I can't go back to being 20. All right? Here's the next thing. God wants to equip you. This is what God wants to do. As you go forward, through circumstances that you face, God is trying to equip you with something that's going to keep you. You got where you are right here today to hold you today and give you wisdom for today. But he has some things that he wants to teach you today to add to your learning from yesterday to keep you tomorrow. You have to, it's a build up on, right? You don't take everything you learned in kindergarten when you go to first grade and forget it and start learning all over again. It's a build up on. You only know how to read because you first of all had to learn how to identify your letters, right? So there's some foundational things that God wants to teach you, and it behooves you to be able to recognize, understand, learn the lesson, and build up on what he said, right? Listen, don't get the victory one day and then go back to what you used to be. That's a whole word right there. And then after God matures you, equips you, he wants to strengthen you. God will strengthen you through faith. He will strengthen you in his word so that you can be constant, that you will not vacillate and waver, right? Like a sail being tossed in the wind. God wants you to be constant and consistent. This is what God wants you to be, right? And then God wants to bring definition to you. This is what he's doing. He's bringing definition to you to make you fit for the task. This is how God needs you to operate, mature, with maturity. Right? He wants to equip you. He wants to strengthen you and define you to make you fit for the task. So what God will do is he provides reminders. Right? As he speaks to us through his word, God gives us revelation, but then he also gives us reminders of what he says along the way. First of all, it needs to be revealed. Revelation only comes from the Holy Spirit speaking truth to you. Right? So as God is revealed, then along the way, you're going to have a trial. You're going to have an issue. You're going to have a test. And this is when the Holy Spirit will begin to remind you what the Lord has said. All right. Romans 10 says this. So faith comes by hearing. Right. Now, if faith comes by hearing, it didn't just stop there. Right. But it closed the loop. Right. Faith that is sound, that produces maturity, that equips you, strengthens you, and defines you, has to have a source. It's a closed loop. The Bible doesn't leave it open. He says, so faith comes by hearing. And watch this. It makes a difference what you hear. Right? So hearing comes by the word of God. Hearing doesn't come by you thinking you so smart. It should not come from somebody that you've held in such high regard that you think that every word that they say is the right word. Right? Hearing has to come from the word of God. This is why Jesus tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God speaks his word. Right? When you get into a tight, speak the word. Hallelujah. All right. So it's the will of God that we are developed and that we become productive in the plan that he has designed for us. All right. So the word comes to remind us. And go to Ephesians 5. Go to Ephesians 5. Technology is agreeing with the word. Y'all should have been saying hallelujah and amen. If you don't praise them, the technology gonna cry out. No, it doesn't. Now, I'm gonna save a little bit of time today. I got some more stuff I gotta say. But when I was reading Ephesians 5, you can't get to verses 15 and 16 without reading 1 through 14, right? It starts off by saying, be ye therefore followers of God, right? I'm going to tell you, God is a forward-moving God. So if you're going to follow him, you have to follow him forward. Right? How do we know that God is forward moving? Because in the beginning there was nothing. The earth was without form and void, and God said, let there be. Right? And after he said, let there be light, and there was light, what did he say? He saw the light and it was what? It was good. Now on the second day, he began to create something else. He didn't go back to the second day and say, wait, lights turn off. Let me start all over, right? Because everything that God does, when he does it and it's good, right? Right? It's always good. So whatever God is doing in your life, you have to remember that this is a forward step and it's good. You don't have to like the step, but it's good. You don't have to ask for the step, but it'll be good. You don't have to understand the step, but it's good. Let me tell you how God works. God will have you work with people you don't like, and you can't even move. You can't pray this away. You have to move forward because I'm working in you. It's about you. It ain't about them. What did you do? Y'all quiet. Y'all feet hurt? Right? I got all the way through this word, and I started reading this Ephesians, and it's look what verse number 2 says. Walk in love. My God. If we don't follow God, walk in love. You can't follow God without walking in love. God is love. He is love. And if you're going to follow him, you can't help but walk in love following him. You can't walk in hate. You can't walk in dissension. You can't walk in discord if you're following him, right? We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. The whole ministry of Jesus was to reconcile the world back to the Father. So how you going to walk with God and be a hellion? How you going to walk with God and you sow in discord? How? How you walking with God and you harboring unforgiveness? Everybody just come to the altar and just lay out for a minute. This is what God does, right? Walk in love as Christ has loved us, and he gave himself as an offering. How much are you giving of yourself to somebody else? Or are you just a taker? And then it tells us to do some things. You got to flee some things. Fornication, uncleanness, and, you know, filthiness, and foolish talking, and jesting, and, you know, don't let none of this stuff being named among you, right? But rather, give thanks, right? Uncleanness and covetousness and idolaters, and none of these unclean people, whoremongers, none of these people are going to inherit the kingdom of God, right? Don't let people deceive you with vain words, right? Don't make peace with the children of disobedience, right? Don't be partakers in foolishness, right? Put a guard at your lips. Everything you think don't have to come out. If you're trying to move forward, bring discipline to your lips. You want to move forward, bring discipline to your thoughts. My God. Right? God is trying to get himself a people to get their minds right. Right? You can't say save, but still try to do unsave. Right? You can't say holy and then say unholy. Bitter and sweet don't flow from the same fountain. Right? Watch this. Don't have fellowship with darkness and unfruitfulness. Don't change. You want to go forward, here are some prerequisites. These are the things that have to be named among you, right? You can read all these things for yourself, right? But I want to show you something. I copied this. You know, I got my Bible on my tablet. So I copied that section of the Bible so I can put it into my notes. But when I looked at my notes, verses 15 and 16 got copied twice somehow. And I said, Lord, I think you're trying to make a point. Right? Everything else is copied, but that got copied twice. Right? Look right here at what verses 15 and 16 says. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. See then that you walk circumspectly. I'm going to say it twice because this is how my notes say it. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Circumspectly means that you have to ensure that you walk with diligence, that you articulate with accuracy. Right? Your life, the life that God has invested in you to live this life in Christ Jesus, he's saying walk with diligence and accuracy. Right? So in many ways, God talking to his people is saying, what I need you to do is to retrain yourself to synchronize with my agenda for your life. And learn how to love what I'm doing in you, right? This is what God wants to say this. This is what God is trying to do. It's the desire of God that you effectively produce in your assignment. So we don't have time to waste. We have to walk wise, not as fools, circumspectly, with diligence, with every word matters. Every thought matters. Every deed matters. You can't for a moment take your foot off the gas. Right? I'm going to give you, y'all give me a few more kingdom minutes. I had a boss, and what he used to tell me is this. When the plant runs well, push the gas harder. And for a long time, I never understood what he said, because we were excellent at recovery. We were excellent at coming together and you through teamwork and cross-functional team development. We could overcome a problem. We could root cause and find out what's going on and do our five whys and do our read across. And we would overcome issues with slap high fives and we would all go home. But he said, don't wait until there's a fire to start filling your buckets. You got to have the water on standby in anticipation that a fire is coming. Don't wait around waiting for the oil when the situation comes. You need the oil of the Holy Ghost already present with you. So he said, push on the gas harder in peace. You got to be able to identify some things. In other words, what he was saying was look down the road and see what's coming. You look down the road, that's faith. I got my eyes open by faith, and I'm looking to see, and God prepare me for when it comes, I'm already prepared to fight the fight. Right? Because I'm interested in going forward. What this means is I don't want distractions to come in the way and stop my forward mobility. All right? All right, I'm almost done. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Yep. Y'all. Y'all thinking about it right now, ain't you? Uh-huh. Is working together, whatever it is, whatever, yep, it sure is. We need to be reminded of that, right? Because when situations come, when issues arise in our lives, the first thing the enemy tries to make you think is, you must have done something wrong. You must have made a wrong step. You must have made a mistake. You must have not heard what God said clearly, right? But all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Watch this. For them he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to his image, up to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he did predestine, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. This word, as the Lord has spoken over us, this is not new. This is not the first time you heard this, right? But this is a reminder that I don't want to allow situations to get me off kilter. You're still a teacher. You might not feel like it, but you're still a prophet. You might not feel like it. You're an evangelist, and you might not feel like it. Right? Listen, let me tell you something. One situation don't strip your oil. One situation don't take the anointing. Let me tell you, gifts and callings are without repentance. Right? God is not going to change his mind because you messed up. But you can't stay on mess up lane and keep wanting God to have his way. Because he's saying, how you want me to have my way while you busy having your way? We both can't have our way at the same time. Somebody's way got to stop. Push the brake on your way bus. So, and get off the bus. I declare, bust the tires of your bus. Shoot the engine. You got a shotgun here today. Shoot the engine so you can't start the bus. Right? The wheels on your bus go round and round, but and they running over people. Y'all, the wheels on your bus go round and round, and all you do is run people down. I'm just messing with y'all. But listen, God has a plan for you. He does. He has a plan. This is not a new word, right? This is an ancient desire. And this ancient desire of God presents the heart and intention of God to the believer. And it requires obedience on our part. Say obedience. As we move, God wants us to move in obedience and in order. Holy Spirit, structure. Order flows out of the depth of circumspect obedience. Obedience that is circumspect is obedience that is understands its purpose. Right? When order resides, the anointing of God can't help but flow. Disorder restricts the flow of God and it prevents forward mobility. Right? The Holy Spirit moves and thrives where there is order, discipline, and structure. Right? Hallelujah. The anointing of God can complete his mission when there is order, discipline, and structure. Right? The anointing can then come and destroy yokes where there is order, discipline, and structure. Right? So moving on and moving forward means moving in order. When we move in order, it causes us to evaluate and reevaluate the condition of our spiritual well-being. This reevaluation then produces the ability to be able to see what God is doing, so we can hear what God is saying, and then we can move how God says move. Order brings clarity to our relationship with God. And causes us to see ourselves clearly as a man beholding his face in a glass. Order illuminates our personal relationships. And order drives us to make right decisions. Right? Order is an eye-opening, illuminating, refreshing, painful, revealing discipline. It's necessary to the believer. Moving in order involves our being in the place where God wants us to be. When you go through rough places, don't jump out the boat. When you're in a storm, it's safer in the ship. You might be tossing, but you ain't drowning. Stay in the ship, right? When it get tight at home, stay in the boat. Moving in order, watch this. This is something that moving in order means. Moving in order means choosing to move beyond your past. You have to choose to move beyond your past. Use your past as motivation to get to your predestined place. I'm going to tell you something. Forward don't look like backwards. It's completely different. Forward does not look like backwards. There is a difference. Here's what happens, and I'm almost done. I keep saying it, and it's going to come true one day. Sometimes, and listen to me, I need you to listen to me, because this part right here, when the Lord told me this, it slapped me upside my sanctified face, but it let me see how messed up I really can be, right? This is what the Lord said. Sometimes when we interact with people, as we're moving forward, we treat them how we remember being treated by people, and we don't necessarily respond to them as they are. We're responding to frustration from people in the past. Sometimes I'm not necessarily responding to you because I haven't let go of the past. I'm saying to you what I wanted to say to them. So I unintentionally cause relationships in my present to dissolve because I haven't gotten over my past. My God. So sometimes we respond to stimuli, watch this, based on how we remember things. What I'm facing right now look like what I used to go through. Oh, my God. And I made a vow that I ain't letting nobody do this to me ever again. So you respond to something that, in, watch this, in your mind, it might not be the mind of the situation. It's in your mind because you're still holding on to issues in the past, and you allowed one thing in the narrative that looked like how it used to be, that you vowed, I'm never letting Johnny do this to me ever again. So now you with Sam, and now you're treating Sam like you should have treated Johnny, but you didn't. So we remember the past that we haven't let go, and we assign assimilation to what we see is not necessarily how it is. So here's what happens. We preconceive actions based off of what we remember and imagine that the trauma is happening all over again. So now I need to shut down so I can stop this. And it prevents us from moving forward because forward don't look like the past. But until we allow the Lord to heal our minds, we will never be able to go forward. So sometimes we respond to a situation based on the perspective of where we were. And not necessarily the way that it is. And it's possible to handle people how we wanted to handle people back in the day. And then we misappropriate circumstances in the future. This is what the Lord gave me. A part of moving forward is getting your psychology to align with your geography. Your psychology, the makeup of your mind, has to align with where you currently are. Right? You're not there. You've been delivered. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. Sometimes your remembrance and your thoughts are the very things that places you back in bondage. Because you've chosen to pick up some things and you've chosen to treat people based off of how you remember. Now watch this. Sometimes what it causes us to do is we unjustly accuse people of things that they didn't think to do, that they weren't trying to do, but because we vowed and because we're undelivered and because we're still stuck, we treat people based on how we were treated and we run people away in the present. And until you deal with that, you won't go forward. You have to be willing to deal with, I told you, this is not a speak to your neighbor. Slap your neighbor a high five. If you're going to slap yourself a high five and say, self, I need to remember that I have been set free by the hand of the enemy. And I'm not willing to allow any chain to bring me back. In the name of Jesus, unlock the borders of my mind to cause my mind to get right. So that I can think right, so that I can process right, so that I can act right, so that I can treat people right, so that I can represent you right. In the name of Jesus, deliver me, and not just for today, but keep me delivered. In the name of Jesus, help me not to vacillate. Help me not to gravitate back to what you have brought me out of, but whom the Son has set free. They are free indeed, and I make a choice today to stay free. You can be out of a situation and all it takes is one remembrance of one thing. You can have a dream and wake up and accuse your mate. I've heard of people having dreams that their mate was having an affair, and they woke up and they just began to accuse because the dream seemed so real. Tell yourself, I got to deal in reality. I'm done. Stand with me.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.